This SES podcast is sponsored by the Alterra Mountain Company. Get your Icon Pass at iconpass.com.
Hi, this is Tiffany Montgomery from Shop Eat Surf. I sat down with Billabong founder Gordon Merchant last week, days after the Board Riders acquisition of Billabong closed. Gordon was a major Billabong shareholder and board member, and he was also working with the Billabong product teams at the request of former CEO Neil Fiske. We asked Gordon why he voted in support of the acquisition, why he declined an offer to work with the Board Riders organization, and why he wasn't thrilled with the leadership appointments recently announced. We also asked him for his advice for his former Billabong colleagues as they embark on this new journey with Board Riders, and he gave us his assessment of the Quiksilver, Ruka, Hurley, and Vulcan brands. Now, here is our interview with Gordon. Okay, so I'm very excited to say I'm here sitting down with Gordon Merchant, the founder of Billabong. Thank you for meeting with me.
Yeah, no problem. Pleasure.
Yeah, it's great. So we are literally like days after the Billabong Board Riders deal has closed.
You know,
how are you feeling about all that?
It's taken me a bit of adjustment to get used to it. You know, it's the same as when I wasn't the CEO anymore and I was just on the board. You know, you get up in the morning and you run around in circles thinking you've got to do something, but you're not sure quite what because you're used to driving something and it's not there anymore. Yeah.
Right.
But a little bit like that. But yeah.
Well, explain to me, I don't know if people know how involved you were with Billabong the last few years. Can you tell people what you were doing?
Well, I was just on the board initially. And then when Neil came into the business as a new CEO, he asked me if I'd come back in and help him. And I agreed and said, yes, I'd gladly come back in. And so I've been traveling to the US every month, and as well as going to places like Japan, Europe, Brazil. And meeting people, talking to them, finding out how they're going. And when I was in the US, what I was doing was actually going into the marketing, design, product, looking at quality, you know, really getting in there and, finding out what was going on and trying to, help as much as I could.
Yeah. So I'm trying to imagine what it's like for you. You've been, you know, you found a Billabong. It's been its own company this whole time, right?
Yep.
I know it's been publicly traded. What's it like? I mean, is it an emotional thing for you to have it now part of Board Riders? Is it bittersweet?
It's not the ending that I envisaged or would have hoped for. But I'd already blocked one takeover. I got crucified for it. And so I wasn't prepared to block this one and to take the responsibility if we'd failed, and take the responsibility that the shareholders would have lost everything. It wouldn't have just been a loss. It would have been lost everything. So, I had to concede and go with it.
Right. You know what? Now I'm racking my brain. There were so many takeover attempts during that period. Which one did you block?
TPG, I think it was.
Right.
The first one.
Yeah. And why do you think this acquisition was the right thing to do?
Because the company accountant figured that it looked at all the alternatives and thought that this was probably the safest way to go. And the rest of the board had agreed to it. And I think if I'd opposed it, I would have lost the board and I would have been pretty much on my own trying to scramble around, trying not to find another board. And we would have had to start selling off assets. It could have got pretty ugly.
Right. That's tough. That is tough. Well, let's look at the industry. Like, what do you think of the industry today? Like, how would you assess the state of the industry?
I think over the last, 5-6 years, it's been extremely tough. Yeah, it's not easy out there. I mean, it's great to grow and, you know, like double your turnover every year, which we were doing for years on year. But it's hard to shrink, you know, with a market that's shrinking. And the market appears to be still shrinking. So, yeah, it's not easy out there at all. And, you know, when you're a 40, 45-year-old company, you've really got to work doubly hard to stay relevant to the market and to your customer. Yeah, it's not it's not easy to be the hot new young brand coming through when you're a 45-year-old company.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Do you wish, I know this is hindsight, but like if you had to do it over again, would you have taken the company public? Would you have kept it private?
I basically had to. If we, otherwise, we would have just stayed the same size and we probably would have shrunk. And I'd had so much of my own money involved in it and invested. I mean, I had a bank overdraft, I think, with $30 million or something.
You know?
Gosh. I was like, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was getting pretty gnarly. You know, and you've been doing it for 20 years or 25 years, and it's like living by the seat of your pants, you know. And so it's a lot of pressure. And it's not just you involved, you know, me personally. It's your family too, you know. And they all take, you know, a part of the whole process and living through it. And yeah, so, you know, going public was a way to assure our future, our safety, you know, economically.
Right, because you had everything on the line financially, right?
Totally, totally. Yeah. For many years. And I had one mistake and you were gone.
Right, right.
Because you just don't have the assets to back you.
Right. Yeah. So you've experienced it all now. I mean, you've dealt with all private equity firms and, you know, investment bankers and all that. Do you think that the sort of money Wall Street crowd really at their heart understands the industry and what it's all about and what makes it special?
No, not at all. No, they just look at it as an investment and try and get a return out of it. Yeah, they don't know the industry. They don't know the people. They don't, you know, I mean, it's a pretty closed, you know, little market we've got. You know, it is, you know, it's pretty tight.
Right, right. So what other businesses are you involved in? Like, we're sitting here in this office, US Blanks. I didn't know you were associated with them at all. I'm embarrassed to say, but like, do you have a lot of other investments?
I did. I had Plantic, which was a plastic company made out of cornstarch. Yeah, I did that for 10 years. And yeah, I just sold it a few years ago. Yeah, again, because I didn't have them, and even that was like too big for me. It was growing too fast and the investment was getting too big. And yeah, so we get a royalty off it now, which is really nice.
Perfect. Yeah, and you just got, I mean, I'm assuming you're getting a nice chunk of change from the Billabong sale, correct?
Yeah, not as much as I could have got if I sold earlier.
Do you kick yourself about that?
Not at all. No, like I was in it for the long haul. You know, I wasn't in there. I made enough money. I mean, you don't need, you know, much more than I already had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you think is, like, if you look back over all these years, what was like the best business move you ever made? Where you think that was such a good decision?
That's pretty tough, you know, a question to answer. Business move, probably starting Billabong. You know, yeah, because that's kind of secured our future. Yeah, so I'd have to say that.
And had you done anything before you started Billabong, or was that?
I was a board shaper. Yeah, or board and board builder. I ended up building boards. You know, so. Yeah, that's where the background I came from. I initially started out as a draftsman, did an apprenticeship as a draftsman.
Gotcha.
But, I couldn't sit in an office any longer because I was a surfer and wanted to go surfing. And so I ended up in the board business, shaping boards.
Do you have a college degree?
No, not at all.
No?
No.
Just all self-made?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of awesome. And what was the worst decision you ever made?
I nearly sold once, but I didn't.
When was that?
That was right back in the early days. I had some, a guy came in and wanted to buy the business, and it was pretty hairy days, you know, because we were expanding so fast and I was struggling to keep up with the expansion. And, you know, we were living, you know, just week to week. And, I just about signed the contract to sell, and I think something happened there. What was it? I think it was some sort of financial crisis happened at the time, And this guy wanted me to accept credit, and I just went, no, absolutely no way. And so it all fell apart, and which was a good thing. Yeah, just one of those things.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Are there any brands out there that you really like in the industry that you think are really doing a good job in any category or different parts of the world or
in surf brands?
Yeah,
surf brands.
I mean, in our market. You're excited about?
I think Billabong's doing the best job I can see, trying to look at it even objectively. I think, they've got a really good crew, got a good range out there. I don't know all the other little brands, there's probably other little brands out there that are doing a good job. I don't know. But I think the few of the bigger ones are getting a bit lazy, and little guys could have a go, but it's a tough ride.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you ever envision all these brands would be under one umbrella?
There's a lot about other big companies out there that have got a lot of other brands under one big umbrella. Not necessarily surf companies, but fashion companies. Surf brand wise, I guess it's probably the biggest that's ever happened.
Right. Do you think they'll keep their competitive, they'll still be able to compete effectively with each other?
Don't know. That's a hard one. I don't know. I just saw that list of people that they put out for all their new positions. And I was pretty disappointed because I think it was out of like 20 different positions. I think it was two or three guys, Billabong people got them. And I thought that was crazy, because there's some really good people there.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. And do you have any advice for your former Billabong colleagues who are now, going to be part of this new organization?
I think they've just got to hang in there and see how it goes. But just do the best thing by yourself, look after yourself. Yeah.
We are going to take a short break here for a message from our sponsor.
Introducing the new standard in season passes. The Icon Pass is your key to ski and ride 26 iconic destinations in North America. That means more unique terrain, more authentic mountain towns, and more all-time memories. Whether it's local turns or the trip of a lifetime, the Icon Pass gives you the best ways to unlock the best days on the mountain ever. Go to iconpass.com and get yours now before the price goes up by $100 on May 1st. Adventure runs deep with the Icon Pass.
Do you see a lot of opportunity for the industry in different parts of the world?
They're talking about Russia, they're talking about China. There's no surf there. So it's pretty tough going. I think, there's opportunities there, but I think there's more opportunity in places like Japan and Brazil than there is in Russia or anywhere else. But, I think you've just got to put the work in.
Do you think the industry is putting the work in?
I think that... when I say put the work in, it's like you got to eat and breathe it and, live it, every day. And you got to be prepared to jump on a plane and go there and just check on them, see how it's going, look for opportunities, you got to be pretty obsessed. I don't know if there's that many people out there that are that obsessed,
Yeah. Do you think it's a bad thing that Neil's not going to be involved in the industry anymore?
For sure. Yeah, he had a really good team together, and I think it'll be tough for that team to stay together now, I think.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you don't think they'll stay together?
Well, when you appoint so many people and you only appoint three Billabong people, I think, it's a bit of the death knell right there.
So you're going to not be here as much, I'm guessing,
No, I won't be. No, not unless things change.
Yeah. Are you still going to wear a Billabong all the time?
It's hard to wear anything different, but I still wear something different, you know. It's like where your heart is. I just hope that it doesn't get, you know, too damaged over the next few years.
Yeah. So I'm going to guess that there's going to be some young brands listening to this. I mean, a lot of people will listen to this because they want to hear from you. But, you know, do you have any advice for people who are starting out that have the $5 million, $10 million brand? They have something going. It's so tough out there. You know, what would you do?
I think the best advice I've got, you know, is to listen to your to the people you're selling to, you know, to the people that are buying from you. Listen to them. Go talk to the retailers. Sit in a retail store. Watch what happens. See what attracts people into the store, what they actually buy. It can be quite different. You can have something in the store that attracts them in there, but when they get in there, they'll probably buy something a little less bright, or, you know, a little bit more conservative, you know. But that's how I learned. I learned by, you know, getting out there in the marketplace, being a surfer, hanging with surfers, watching what they did, understanding what's needed. You know, try to be innovative, try to be creative, try to come up with something that's different, that's new, that actually works, and make sure the quality's there. You know, that actually, you know, my acid test for designers was, okay, all right, take the label off, and now can you sell it without a label? Does it really, you know, is it worth value? Is it, you know, is the quality there? Yeah, the innovation? You know, these are all things that you've just got to put a lot of effort into. And just because it hasn't been done doesn't mean it can't be done. You know, I mean, try to, you know, be as creative as you can and come up with, you know, interesting ways to promote your product. And, you know, especially in design, try to be clever with your designs, you know, and try to be unique. You know, nobody's going to buy something, just another one of those, you know. Try to be special.
Thinking of retail made me think, are you a believer in company retail? I mean, you know, brand retail?
I think it's a good thing, as long as it's not overdone. I think, like for me, I really got a good promotion out of doing company retail and showing people at the time how the product should be sold and how to display it. You know, back in those days, those early days, you know, we were selling to surf shops that, you know, didn't normally sell clothing, you know, and, yeah, they'd have, you know, grass mat floors, and the place would be smelling of resin because there's a surfboard factory at the back. And then you were selling to a menswear store that had no idea how to display the product and would hang it in with other, you know, normal, straight, non-surf products. And, yeah, so, you know, it was, you know, a big learning curve, and that, yeah.
Okay, now I'm going back to, like, the acquisition question I have for you.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people were just stunned at the price it ended up going for.
Yeah.
You know, these incredible brands.
Yeah.
What do you say to that or think about that?
Yeah, it was pretty cheap. They got a good deal. Yeah. And it just that the amount of debt that we were carrying, you know, just strangled us, really. We tried really hard for those, you know, like 4.5 years to fight our way out of it. You know? But it's, you know, I mean, you're paying 12% interest on, you know, 200 million, that's 24 million straight off the top. Yeah. It's pretty tough to survive that. Yeah.
And that always felt like there was a disconnect, because at least here in the U.S., Billabong has made such progress the last few years. And, you know, if it's not the number one in most accounts, it's definitely the number two. You know, the retailers rave about the product quality. Women's has just, like, completely taken over. But then the numbers didn't sort of reflect, you know, the overall financial results seem to, like, not reflect.
Yep. We're investing a lot in infrastructure. Probably too much. Probably shouldn't have invested quite so much. It's hard when you don't have a, you know, when you can't see what's happening, when you can't visualize or you can't see the orders you've got, and you know you're buying blind. I mean, that's really dangerous. And you know, our infrastructure was that bad. That's what the situation was, and Neil was trying to fix that. But yeah, didn't happen.
Yeah. So, are you at peace with what's happened? I mean, like, do you lose sleep over it? Are you?
I worry about the staff, the future of what will happen. I worry about the brand. You know, I'd like to see the brand continue, you know. Yeah, I was asked if I'd continue on with it, and I said, yeah, I would. But then when the offer came through, it was, I think all they were looking for was a front person to, you know, just say that I still was involved, you know. Whereas that's not what I wanted. I wanted to be, if I was going to be involved, I was going to be doing what I was doing for Neil, you know. And that's not what they seem to want. So, yeah, we parted ways.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. How's the Australia market these days?
Probably as tough as anywhere.
Really?
Yep.
It hasn't improved at all?
Not really. It's still, I mean, if you say, okay, over 5 years, it's probably a little better than it was 5 years ago. But, you know, when you say improved, and we're not back to where we were 10 years ago, you know, and I don't know if we'll ever will be, you know. Those, you know, kind of heady days, I guess you call them now, are gone. And this is like the new reality. So, yeah, this is what you got to deal with. This is what you got to do.
So some people think the market has changed forever. And some people think, oh, this is just a cycle. It will come back. What do you think?
I was hoping it would come back. I've been hoping it would come back for the last 10 years. How long are you going to hope for? I mean, you know, this looks like the new reality. You know, like I wouldn't be hoping too much right now. I'd be dealing with what you got in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can't give it too much longer.
And what do you think? Do you think athletes are still really important?
I think they're very important. Yeah. They obviously need, in regards to commercialization, then the WSL is a good format to show the athletes and promote the athletes. But, you know, I think that's longevity too. I don't know how long that's going to be able to go for. You know?
And why do you say that?
Because they're losing a lot of money every year. And, you know, I mean, I don't know how long you can go on for doing that. You know? Okay. I think they've tried to change the circuit around. I'm not sure if that was to save money or what that was about, but from what I'm told now, they've changed it back again. They're going to change it back again. They're not going to do it. I was on the ASP board for, I think, maybe 15 years and maybe longer. And we did that. We actually changed the circuit around, and it didn't work, so we had to change it back. So, yeah, I was surprised to see them, you know, like start the event in Hawaii and not finish it there, because that's what we did, and it didn't work. And the whole media is geared to the event finishing in Hawaii, you know, and, you know, you're trying to go against that, which is kind of crazy.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
You know, some people will say, like, oh, Quiksilver and Billabong are so similar.
Mm.
How are they different?
They were similar for a long time, but I think right now, I think they are fairly different in the regards to the product and the marketing. I think Billabong aims at a much younger market. And that was kind of what I drilled into them, just, you know, because your future is that next generation that's coming through, and you better be relevant to it, you know. So you need to sponsor young, good surfers, you know, like Jack Robinson was one, you know, 5 years ago, and now you've got Griffin. You know, these are good kids to get, and but you need to have the product and the marketing that goes along with that, you know. Whereas when I look at what Quiksilver is doing right now, their range is very conservative, and I think they're appealing to somebody that's over 40, you know, and that doesn't, I mean, that's drifting off into the sunset. You know, you need to get back and be a relevant to that next generation. And if you're not doing that, then you're losing it. Because the generation you are appealing to is getting older and older, and they're going to buy less and less. And yeah,
right. What do you think of Hurley?
Hurley, I think, like Bob was. I worked with Bob 17 years. You know, he was my first American licensee, and I know Bob really well. And I was disappointed in the fact that they had so much momentum going, and yet they couldn't seem to get a girls' ranch stick or anything past board shorts, walk shorts, and t-shirts. And when you got that sort of momentum, you really got to make sure that you've got some depth in your product, and that you don't go too heavily on certain items, like t-shirts and board shorts, and I think they've got their work cut out for them, to try to just, they need to try to develop further.
Right.
With Nike behind them, you would think that it would be easy. But, I don't know,
Sometimes it's harder, I think, because that organization is so big that and Hurley's so small,
they get lost in there.
It's hard. Yeah. I think it's really hard.
Yeah.
They've tried a lot of different things. And I will say I've been hearing, I just yesterday heard some great feedback about their new women's line. So that was positive here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good.
Okay, so this is going to be what do you think about questions? What do you think about Volcom?
Volcom, from the outside looking in, looks like they lost their identity. They don't know really what they are anymore. They're kind of, the wild party crew and trying to be offbeat. And that doesn't seem to be resonating anymore. And I look at the product, and the product to me doesn't look all that inspiring. I think maybe it's because of the people that own the brand, now own the brand, and the original guys just aren't there anymore. And I kind of think it becomes hard then. When you own the brand and you've got somebody there that you can relate to and surfs and it feels part of it, it's a different thing, And you're all pulling together and you're all working together and you're competing really hard. When there's somebody there that you can't relate to, that's a problem. It's difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. What about Ruka? That's
Ruka's been doing quite well. If Pat had got to work more, it'd be better. But that's a good brand, and I can see so many opportunities for them, and I wouldn't mind being there driving that brand because it's a good brand. Yeah.
So I have to tell you, I feel like people have said that about Ruka for 7 years. There's so much opportunity. There's so much opportunity. There's so much opportunity. And they're definitely the women's thing is, starting to take off. But it seems like why hasn't that been, why wasn't Billabong as a company able to capitalize on that more?
I think because we were restricted to how much we could invest in the company,
Because of the debt.
Yeah, because of the debt. Yeah, and trying to spread what we had out, we got pretty thin. We did as best as we possibly could with them. The same with Billabong. The market's tough out there. It's not, you're not going to just walk into a 100% increase each year. You're looking at 5 or 10%,
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. If you're doing really well.
Yeah, that's people would die for that these days.
Well,
yeah.
That's what Billabong was doing. That was what Ruka was doing, And to me, it's I go, oh, my goodness, this is achieving, because I come from the period where we were doubling every year, It's just fighting for this 5 and 10%, And I can see people going, well, she's, it's got to give somewhere here. We got to, this market's got to change. We got to get back to those days. But, I don't hold your breath.
Yeah. And one thing that I do hear is that, like, at Billabong, okay, there was the debt, right?
Yeah.
And then there was also the interest on the debt, paying it, that there was like a lot of consultants and a lot. Do you think that was a worthwhile spend?
On the early days?
What do you mean by early days? Like,
well, there's been different periods of time where we had consultants.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I think a lot of the consultants are a complete waste of money. You know, basically what they did was they go in there and they talk to the person that's in that particular section and they ask them all about it, right? And they offer nothing. All they're doing is asking you questions and trying to find out as much as they can because they don't know anything. And, you know, they're supposed to be consulting you and telling you how you can do your job better, you know? I think there's consultants and there's consultants. So, you know, it's, I guess, which one you end up with. Yeah. But in general, no.
Yeah.
No.
Do you feel, I'm kind of asking this question a different way, but I think of, like, you know, the Gold Coast and Billabong being headquartered there, and to have it not be headquartered in Australia anymore, does that bother you?
No, not really. When you look at the overall, you know, the market, and Australia's just another market,
right?
You know, I mean, it doesn't matter that it's, if it's in the US, you know, or if it's in Australia. It's probably more convenient to be in the US, except that, you know, like I was telling you before we started the interview, that, you know, people that get in the US. Just find it becomes all consuming, and they forget to look outside the US, which can be an issue.
Even the people from other parts of the world who move here,
yeah, and they get sucked into the same thing. It's all about the US, and it's all about nowhere else, you know.
Yeah,
and Europe's a big market, you know. Japan's a big market. Brazil's a big market, you know, and so is Australia, you know. So you need to pay attention to those other markets.
Right.
You want to be successful, you know, you need to be successful in more than one market.
Right. Yeah. So how much are you surfing these days?
Not as much as I'd like to, but I plan to surf a lot more.
I bet you're going to have a lot more time on your hands,
exactly.
Right? Well, good. Okay. Well, anything else that you'd like to say?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay. Thank you. Thank
All right.
you.
No, pleasure.
Okay. Yeah. Bye. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find previous podcast interviews on our website under the podcast tab. Thank you also to our sponsors and to our Executive Edition members. We appreciate each and every one of you.